Hey friends, it's Kara Kay, and this is the Asking for a Friend podcast, a show for the woman who has questions about herself, the church, and the world. We are all asking tough questions that affect us as women in the culture that surrounds us, and we are looking for a safe space to ask them. But don't worry, I know you're only asking for a friend. Hello and welcome to the show this week as we are going to take a look back at 2020 and some of the big things that happened. Now, around here on Asking for a Friend, we talk about big questions and how those questions impact women, culture, and the church. So as we look back on 2020 today, we're going to look at it through the lens of some of the big things that happened and how that affected women, how that affected the culture around us and the church. Now, I have invited not a woman today to join me. I have invited my husband, Brooke, to talk through 2020 with me. So welcome to the show.
Thank you.
I'm excited you're here. All right. Well, we probably have a lot of stuff to talk about. So let's not dilly-dally. I like to use those fancy words with those you.
Dilly-dallies.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. So why don't you kick us off and tell us about some of the things that impacted women this year?
Yeah, I love that you said, hey, let's talk about what impacted women in the year of 2020. So here's my husband.
Here's my husband.
Congratulations, women. You get to listen to apparently my version of this. So
this is true.
Who knows? Okay, so kick it off. I think we can probably just toss out COVID. We know that COVID has happened.
It's there.
And
all of this is through the lens of COVID.
Yes, everything is through the lens of COVID. But I thought something that was really interesting in the year of 2020 is that it was the 100th anniversary of the 19th Amendment, which was
very cool.
Women's right to vote, suffrage.
Yeah.
I thought that was pretty awesome. That's a pretty big milestone.
That is, for sure. What else you got?
You have a lot of 2020 for me is also through the lens of politics.
Yep,
because it's 2020.
Yeah, and we had that's an election, what this year was,
and it's pretty
COVID
crazy.
COVID and politics,
and so I think you can't leave out the fact that we now have a vice president elect mm-hmm. who is female, and Kamala Harris. And I think it's probably safe to say that Kamala Harris doesn't make it there when you don't have Stacey Abrams. So you can't
That's
leave
so
Stacey
true.
Abrams out of here.
So true.
Like, I think she is a major part of 2020 mm-hmm. and previous years as well, getting to this point. But regardless of how you feel about who Kamala Harris is or her politics or whatever, it's still a pretty cool milestone to finally break into that circle and have a woman in the major leadership role in the White House.
You stole one of mine.
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
We didn't do this.
We didn't share notes, so we may have some overlap. Yeah, so that was definitely one of my top ones is Kamala. I mean, I don't care how you feel about her and her policies and all of that. It is so amazing to have a woman in that office.
Yeah.
So it's very cool. Did you have anything else?
Yeah, I had one other one that really stuck out to me and just recently was Sarah Fuller at Vanderbilt. Yeah. If you don't know who Sarah Fuller is, she is the goalie for the SEC championship winning women's soccer team at Vanderbilt, and the soccer or the football team had COVID go through their kicking team, and so they needed someone to come and kick. And they got Sarah to come and be their place kicker. And so that was pretty cool. It was actually, it was funny because it was more impactful than I expected it to be. Mm. Probably because I'm a father of three girls.
Yeah.
Not that I expect any of them
which is funny because we talked about that. Like, there's no way any of our girls will be football players.
Yeah. No, not at all. But it was just really cool to get her to watch her be on the field.
Yeah,
and
it was cool.
I know there will be pushback of, oh, but she's going to get hurt, or you can't do kickoffs because she can't tackle and blah, 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 blah. It's all, mm-hmm. you know, but it's just awesome to be
it
able to
cool.
watch it. And then this week that she got to kick two extra points. And mm-hmm. so she's now the first woman to kick or to score points in the Power Five conferences. But I can't just leave it there. Like, also this year has also had multiple other people. Katie Sowers is an offensive coordinator or offensive assistant coach, excuse me, for the 49ers in San Francisco. Kaylee Brownson is the Browns chief of staff. Sarah Thomas is the, I believe, the first woman who is an NFL official, and Jennifer King is a coaching intern for the Washington football team, now that they've changed their name. So yeah, it's just like there was a whole bunch of women breaking into, I guess, apparently football this year that was really awesome.
That's very cool. I blacked out there for a minute when you named all those people that I didn't know. So it is cool. Yay, sports ball team.
Yes, sports.
I know. It is very exciting. I'm not a huge sports person, but I love it. Love hearing you talk so passionately about it.
Sure.
Okay. I want to share a couple. You
Please.
Stole one of mine.
I'm sorry.
You stole Kamala from me, but I have two really cool ones that were things that really stood out to me this year. And I kind of had to dig back into when things were actually going on earlier in the year. And there were a few things. For one, the Super Bowl show this year that had J-Lo and Shakira. That was just cool. Like, just the cultural aspect of that and seeing powerful women. For some reason, all of mine are like musical, and I'm not a musical person, but I like music. So Alicia Keys hosted the Grammys this year. It was her second year in a row to host, and she did it. It was like right after Kobe had died. That was this year.
Yeah.
You know, like
this year, honestly, this year it's like, this was difficult to prepare for because I don't even remember what was this year and what was in previous years.
We should play a game that's like, did this happen in 2020?
I would lose bad.
So right after Kobe's death, Alicia hosted the Grammys, and she was like the perfect person to do this. And she got up and she said, "We're literally standing here heartbroken in the house that Kobe Bryant built." So it was just really powerful. And she's just such a great woman leader in that industry. And then that night, Demi Lovato gets up and sings this incredibly powerful song. She had a couple years ago had a drug overdose and just was spiraling and went through a lot over the last couple of years. And so she hasn't been performing. She comes back at the Grammys this year and performs. And then she sings the national anthem at the Super Bowl. And then the world shut down right after that. So there was all this really cool stuff that went on in February. But those were just a few things that really stood out to me.
Well, if I could tag one more onto Alicia Keys, getting to see her do...
Oh my gosh, yes.
Lift Every Voice and Sing at the beginning of football.
That was like, way better than the Grammys. That's
so
true. That
was incredible.
That was incredible. Okay, so on that note, let's shift to culture. Let's talk about some of the big cultural things that happened this year. Obviously, COVID, that was a big deal. I think there were some fun things that came out of COVID. That sounds terrible.
I know what you mean.
You know what I mean. Yeah. So, like, we got this Some Good News with John Krasinski.
Which was great.
Which was the best. Like, we just got some of those really amazing things that we got to see communities come together and do great things. We saw drive-by birthday parties. We saw all these, like, random things that were fun ways to love on each other during hard times. But it was a hard year,
man,
for culture. So why don't you kick us off and share some things?
I got to kick us off again.
Yep. I'm making you go first.
Well, let's see. I think the biggest thing to me, maybe outside of the election, is the month of, what was it, April, when we had Ahmaud Arbery, followed by George Floyd, followed by Breonna Taylor, and just everything that has compounded since then. We've had protests that have been almost every day, if not every day, in some cities, and just the weight of what that means, and the conversations that it has forced us to have, which I think is great.
Yeah.
It just unfortunately has happened in very, very painful ways. And not to bring us down a notch there, but I don't think you could talk about 20. I mean, I think when you look at 2020 and the history books in years to come, we're going to look back and look at this, and it's going to be the year of, you know, so much that happened around deaths of Black people with injustice wrapped up in everything, and the way that our culture has been completely split and divided on whether or not it's a big deal, or how we handle this, or what we even talk about, you know, in the scenario. So I think you can't leave that out.
Yeah, no, you can't. That definitely defines our year. And with that, one thing that really stands out to me is that we are really beginning to raise the questions of what is the role of the police, and what does that look like, and how can they truly serve our communities? And I think it's shocking that we've heard some of those statistics of, well, they, you know, only go to school for how many weeks is it? Like, they only go through the academy for so many weeks. And, you know, lawyers have to go to school for like 8 years to be able to defend the law. And, but to be able to actually serve and protect and uphold the law, it's hardly anything. And so it's just a messed up system. And so I think those conversations really coming up and being a part of what's going on is important. And so I think it's good to see that. It's hard, but it's good to see those conversations happening.
Yeah. You know, I actually had the opportunity to go and sit with a large group of people with the chief of police here mm-hmm. in town. And just to hear from them, I mean, I have had some good friends throughout the years that are officers or detectives or mm-hmm. Whatever on the force, or people that have been, you know, in the force. And I don't envy their job,
right?
The difficult decisions that they have to make. And a lot of times on a split second, mm-hmm. you know, that they have to make it that fast. But just to hear about some of the training and some of the things that they wish they could do if they had more money. And it always feels like our response is, well, we just need more. We just need more. And mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think it's great that we have the conversation and try to figure out, okay, well, what does this look like going forward if there are issues in how we train or mm-hmm. or whatever? And I think we have to also realize that most of us have not gone through any right. of that training.
Right.
And so it's super easy, just like anything else, to mm-hmm. criticize from the outside, you know, when we don't know mm-hmm. what's on the, we've not gone through it. We don't yeah. know how it feels to be in those situations. And that doesn't necessarily change injustices that happen
yeah.
or things like yeah. that. And, you know, you have to give it up to the officers that have all come out and said, yeah, well, what happened to George Floyd
yeah.
is absolutely not okay. And,
right.
are making efforts to try to make sure things like that can't happen.
Right.
So,
yeah, that's good. Do you have anything else to add on with this, the racial unrest side of 2020?
I think there's so much that we could talk about that
forever.
We can just...
Well, and my listeners know, I feel like half of my shows this year have been about this topic. So there's plenty for you guys to go listen to.
That's right.
One thing that I have seen this year, I told you to go first, but we're just going to, you know, tag team here.
That's fine.
One thing that I've seen, which has been really cool, has been this awakening of taking care of our planet and of each other. And that's not like, I've never been one of these like super green people. You know, I should take better care of the planet. I should use reusable plastic bags and
recycle when it's easy.
Whatever. Yeah. Yeah. Recycle when it's easy. But it's just easier not to do a lot of those things. And so, but seeing the impact this year that COVID had on everything, and when there was just not as much travel, there was not as much, all of those things, there was not as much pollution in the air, the waters were cleaner, things like that, really helped a lot of people see, like, we need to take better care of our environment, of our planet. And something that really, I mean, this is more of on a personal note, but I took a class recently. I don't know if you know this, but I'm in seminary.
Oh, you are? That's cool.
Yeah, I am. You'll get the bill later.
No doubt.
But I took a class about ethics, and we talked about creation ethics, and we were studying about how we kind of have this in our minds as Christians that, okay, God's going to come back and he's going to take us and take us to heaven, and the earth is just going to like float away and it will no longer be. But that's not what scripture says, that he's going to come and redeem the earth. He's coming to redeem everything. And this, we are still going to function in this earth that he created for us. And we need to take care of it now, because this is our earth forever. This is our home forever. And yes, he will come and redeem it and make it new, but we need to take care of it. If we look at it from that aspect, it kind of opens our eyes to new things of how are we caring for this, looking at it from eternal aspect. Mm. So, not to go all super theologically deep there.
No, it's good.
But it's interesting to think about and seeing the way the world can flourish when there's not millions of cars on the road every day.
Yeah.
People are staying home and taking better care of themselves and the planet.
Yeah, so, that's cool.
Yeah, I'm all green now. Here I am. Watch me go.
That's right.
Okay. Do you have anything else about culture to share that stood out to you?
Well, one of the things that stood out to me and we'll get more into it with the church side of things in a few minutes, but, as I was thinking through what happened in culture, when we talk about the election and politics and all that is here, and maybe it's just because I'm older and I've started to pay attention to things that I didn't pay attention to when I was much younger.
Yeah.
And, I have maybe more of a leadership role than I've had in some of my previous positions in churches and stuff like that politics started to be a thing, and we had to figure out, okay, how do we have conversations about some of this stuff? And, you know, without diving too far into it, with culture just alone, the videos that Phil Vischer from the Holy Post has put out in the past, the past 3-4 months have been something that really stood out to me. I mean, there were videos about multiple videos about race, about why Democrats tend to be black and Republicans tend to be white, or, you know, why you tend to be those in those categories, or about abortion, or just one released just this past week that was about evangelicalism and the history of all of that. Like, those to me, that was in the culture that I am in, those were a pretty big deal, because there, a lot of times they're pushing the envelope for a whole lot of people and making people listen to things that are uncomfortable from a guy that makes the voice of a tomato.
That's right. But the cool thing is, a lot of us who grew up in the church, grew up in that evangelical space and grew up on VeggieTales, we trust him. We trust his voice.
Right.
And so it's like, he's telling me this and I trust him. I believe him because he told me truth, even through the voice of a tomato.
That's right.
And so
what we have learned applies to, I'm just kidding.
It's so good. Culture. There's a lot this year.
Oh man.
I have one, but I'm going to wait and we're going to talk about it at the end.
I feel like I probably know where you're going and I also have it on my list. And I thought, you know what? I'm just going to wait.
We're going to save that.
We'll talk about that at the end.
Okay. Let's talk about the church.
The
church had a hard year because the world had a hard year.
Yeah.
You work in the church.
I do.
Thankfully you still have a job.
Yes, it's true. Very much.
Thankfully you are the person that had to make everything run when the world shut down.
Yes.
So your job was real important.
It expanded, it seems.
That's true. Yeah. That's true. So let's talk about some of the things that really impacted the church. For me, one thing, I'll kick us off here.
Yeah, go for it.
I'm seeing all these conspiracy theories and Christians really diving into those. And that has been just hard. It's been hard for me this year to watch the church just step away from, not to call people out, you know, like not to say you're wrong, but it feels like we're stepping away from some biblical truths and discernment and just leaning into whatever thing pops up that we hear about.
Yeah, I feel like we've had to, or at least me personally, I feel like I've had to do more research and watch more channels, if you will, more sources, because it's super easy to just hop on Facebook and say, oh man, did you see what happened?
Right.
It's like, well, actually, that didn't happen.
That didn't, yeah.
And it feels like things have gotten crazy. Well, things have gotten crazy, but you know, as we said at the beginning, like, let's just throw COVID out. But I think when you talk about the church, like, the church was dominated by COVID in this year. And what you're talking about is, you know, you're going from masks to politics to vaccines to, you know, so much of what has gone on this year is in the realm of conspiracy theories for some people. Or, I mean, I read one earlier that somebody said that the vaccines are targeting the part of your brain that allows you to believe in God.
Oh, good grief.
Exactly. Like, it's like, I wouldn't even believe that if I read that. But the fact that now it would be sent out to people throughout, and there's people that are going to buy into that and eat it up because we're not going to do any of the research to figure any of that out. We're just going to say, well, but I know somebody who posted this on Facebook and I trust them because they did it because they found somebody else that they trust or they think they trust or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. And so within that realm, I think it gets really hard because it was a heavy, heated political year.
For sure.
And so that divides the church. And I don't care where you are, it has split so many churches. And we see that. We see that in churches that we've been a part of, mm-hmm. that friends are a part of. And it's just hard. And I've seen this trend of younger Christians who are, you know, maybe college age or in their 20s. I've seen even statistics about this, that so many young people are leaving the church because they can find more love and acceptance in the world than they can find in the church. Mm-hmm. And so that is one of the hardest things.
It's brutal.
And thinking about our kids growing up, like, I don't want them to leave the church because they are more loved outside the doors of the church,
yeah.
and more accepted.
Yeah.
So that has been something that's been really heavy this year. I've seen it a lot with the racial tension as well,
right.
because a lot of that younger generation, they are, you know, they are a part of the protest. They are rising up to say Black Lives Matter and supporting people and just all of these things, because they're saying enough is enough. Like, we're not going to be told, our friends are not going to be told what it means to be loved and just to be human. And so they're just leaving because they can't find that within the church.
Well, and it feels like the church in general, or at least the, maybe the evangelical American church, mm-hmm. has strayed away from being able to have those conversations.
Right.
Like, I think about my years in church, and I've worked for several different churches in the past 15 years, and I don't remember ever really having conversations about difficult topics.
Yeah.
And you know, maybe it was just a bubble that I lived in, and I mm-hmm. figured out how to dodge those kinds of things,
right.
and I wasn't paying attention to them. But just in the past 5 to 10 years, like, with so much that's gone on, we don't have conversations except to say abortion is wrong, period. It
right.
doesn't matter anything else beyond that. If
right.
there's any, you delete any sentence that's after
yeah.
the period after abortion is wrong,
mm-hmm.
you know? And so we haven't even gotten to a place where we know how to have those conversations
mm-hmm.
in a lot of churches. I'm not going to say
yeah.
that every church,
oh,
I don't want to
sure.
lump everything in, but you know, we don't know how to have that conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And so now, where we get to Facebook, where that becomes
yes.
our conversation, you have the anonymity, even when your mm-hmm. face is planted on it, you
yeah.
know, it still says Brooke is on there, Kara Kay is
yeah.
on there, but we still feel the freedom to disagree
mm-hmm.
far more harshly than we
yeah.
would if we were face to face, or if we like sat down with someone who disagreed with us
mm-hmm.
or maybe believes things differently than we do. And
yeah.
So I think that's been a big thing that has been exposed even more while we're all stuck at home and scrolling through Facebook because
yeah.
we can't go anywhere.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I just wrote a paper for finals last week about having conversations about politics within mm. the church. And I was mostly looking at and researching the white evangelical church in America and just the disconnect that there is there. And I kept seeing time and time again, people were saying, I go to church on Sunday morning and it doesn't look like the rest of my week. So the week is hard. People are faced with these challenging things, conversations and decisions and struggles, and then they go to church and it feels like a day at Disney World where everything's perfect, and you know, we just ignore what's going on outside the doors of the church, and so the church can miss a lot in not caring for their people when they ignore those topics. So I think that that's important for the church to really dive into,
yeah,
no matter how hard it is,
yeah,
and what it looks like. So
and I think there's a lot of things that have gone on that, you know, we can just briefly mention.
Yeah.
And you know, with COVID related, you know, I don't think any church was prepared necessarily for what happens if we have a worldwide pandemic.
Yes.
And everything goes crazy.
I don't remember, you know, seeing a book about that.
Yeah, or no, I don't know. But you know, shelter in place like that threw everything
mm-hmm.
up in the air. Like, that was what expanded my job in
yeah,
a lot of ways.
Yeah.
Was, oh, we have to figure out how to have church.
Out this. Yeah.
And we weren't necessarily prepared to stream online and do
yeah.
all of that. But you know, the masks and the banning of singing in churches
mm-hmm.
and things like that. And regardless of where you fall in those debates, like, there's still things that the church has had to deal with. And But I think one of the things that really stuck out to me about this year, because of all of those things, it's almost pulled back some of the veil of being able to see that there are so many people that are involved, quote unquote, in church. Yeah. But really, this showed how unengaged or disengaged, I'm not sure which one the correct term there
they,
is,
but they both sound great.
They're not engaged with the church that we claim, yeah, church, that we go to church. We, right, you know, maybe, but it's more of a checking of the box. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, I checked my box because I went to church and now I'm going to go back to my thing. But mm-hmm. beyond singing on Sunday morning and listening to a sermon, mm-hmm. once you get to your car, do you remember what we sang about, or do you remember what we talked about, or, you know, how does that impact your life,
right,
beyond that? Or are you just saying, yep, I went to church, cool, now back to work, yeah, or now back to my normal life, because that's, yeah, just this thing over here. But as soon as people can't go anymore, is that easy for them? Is it, yeah, easy for them to not go to church anymore?
Yeah, well, and that's,
or
the
is
thing,
that difficult?
I've even said that, like, it's kind of nice. Like, I like our slow Sunday mornings now, but as a pastor's wife, Sundays have always been hard because, yeah, it's about, like, wrangling the kids, and there's something in the air about Sunday mornings that they're the worst. And so it's been nice, like, that I can sit at home and do church. And I've heard people say that too. Like, I don't even know if I'll go back to church now. Like, it's so nice that almost every church is now online.
Yeah.
And what's even the point? And so the church is going to have to do some work to figure out how to get back to being communal. Because we're missing that. We're missing showing people that church should be about community,
yeah,
not about that, you know, hour block on Sunday morning.
Well, you got anything else on the church? Because I got one more thing
go
on the church,
it.
But it's on a lighter thing. So if we need to
that
keep talking,
that would be great.
Cool.
Light would be good.
All right. So we end light. I went back because I needed to, because again, I don't know what was 2020 and what was 2014. Like, it's all just gone.
It's
now.
A blur.
I don't know what day it is. So as I had to go back, and this was technically, it was the end, it was towards the end of 2019, but really it's helped us get through 2020. So
okay.
I'm going to count it, right? Is Worship Fails on Instagram.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Yes.
So if you haven't gone on Instagram and you don't follow Worship Fails, it may not be nearly as good, especially if you happen to be a tone deaf person. Or you just don't understand, but at least for people that have been in the church, or for,
yeah,
musicians,
yeah,
I'm a former worship leader.
I was going to say, you were a worship pastor
and
for
so
long.
I have been in the painful situations that this is, but this was so much, I don't know how
so
many
good.
Times I sat on the couch and just scrolled through, like, you know, it's not like a daily thing for me, but, you know, once a month or something, I would sit down and be like, oh man, there's so many new ones that I haven't seen, yeah, and I'm scrolling through them, and I got like tears streaming down my face because I'm laughing so hard at the pain that we're sitting in, listening to,
yeah,
the crazy sounds that happen,
it's
or
good.
The person that trips over a cable on stage, or forgets to take their headphones out as they're walking off and almost gets tripped back, and or the keyboard that just falls in front of people, or the tree that falls on a drummer.
Oh,
and it's just like,
good.
It's just constant. So
okay.
if you don't,
yeah,
you have
I'll
to go.
I'll link it in the show notes because it's so good.
Oh, it's good.
Yeah. I don't know how many times I've walked in a room and you've been sitting there like, dying laughing, and I can
funny.
Hear
it's
and I know exactly
funny.
What you're watching. So it is
oh,
good.
Man.
Okay, let's wrap up with some of our favorite resources from the year.
Oh, Lord.
We together, I was going to go back and look at how many books that we read collectively this uh-huh. year, but I'm not good at math off the top of my head. Okay,
if we just round it, we're about 225-ish.
There you go. About 225 books between the two of us.
Yeah.
I will say that he has the higher number between the two of us, which is amazing.
I also didn't go to school.
Yes.
And lots of other excuses.
That's true. So we read a lot. We watch a lot of TV, a lot of movies. So is there any way you can give me like your top three books?
So actually,
is that even possible?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Actually, like
I
mark them as I go through, mm-hmm. and I mark like, this is one of my favorites of the year, so that at the end of the year I can look at it and be like, here was all my favorites.
Yeah.
And I scrolled back through that literally last night, and I was like, I don't know how to list this.
Can't.
Like, I don't
yeah.
know how to make this 10. Like,
yeah.
let
oh,
alone let
hard.
Alone three. But so one that was so good, and I literally just read it. But it's so good for anybody that's struggling in the pandemic. God in the Pandemic by N.T. Wright was so good. It's a great Christian perspective on how Christians should be responding to a COVID-19 crisis like we are in the middle of, and we haven't. And as you said, like getting back to the communal side, like just throw some of these out here. Subversive Jesus by Craig Greenfield, Touch by Rudy Rasmus, although this is not the year for Touch.
That's
in
true.
The same
Do
way.
Not touch.
But the concepts are still good. I See You by Terrence Lester, The Very Good Gospel, Lisa Sharon Harper, Misreading Scripture with Western Eyes or Individualist Eyes, both by E. Randolph Richards, both very good. Just Mercy, I just finished that again yesterday.
Multiple times.
God, it's just, the end of it is just so, the application is just brutal. It's just brutal. And, you know, so all of those, Postcards from Babylon by Brian Zahn, like, there have been so many books that have just rocked my world. And consistently, I think of, you know, you had her on the podcast, you had Caitlin Scheiss on the podcast with The Liturgy of Politics, D.L. Mayfield, The Myth of the American Dream. I don't know if you read, you did Trevor Noah's Born a Crime.
Yep.
Like I needed something funny in there and oh my gosh, like his
that
dance crew. If you
so
have not read the book,
good.
If you have not read the book, if you ever get to it and you hear about the dance crew, you'll know what I'm talking about. It's just phenomenal. Becoming by Michelle Obama made me love the Obamases even more.
Obamases?
Yeah, that's right. But yeah, so there have been so many books that I've read this year, and literally, I don't know how I'm going to limit it to, you know, a top 10 of the year. Like, I don't know how that's even going to be possible.
Okay, so you just named off pretty much everything on my list, which is great. We do read a lot of the same books, because I'll read a book and go, you have to read this.
Oh, you have to read this.
Same. So a lot of mine were the
same. My bad.
Subversive Jesus. I actually had Rediscipling the White Church.
Very good.
What's the other one that's similar title? I read these two back to back. And
that one was great. David Swanson.
Uh-huh. I don't remember what the other one is. But yeah, those were really, really good, really eye-opening, especially if you're in church leadership or any kind of leadership. So this year for me, I really focused on politics and purity culture were two of the things that I was really curious about, I guess, and wanted to read about and learn about. And so you mentioned The Liturgy of Politics. That was fabulous.
Yep.
I read a book called The Political Disciple, which was so, so good. I read several more for school because I wrote that book. It felt like a book. I wrote that paper on politics, having political conversations within the church. And so those were really, really great. On the side of purity culture and all of that, I read a book called Pure by Linda K. Klein that was probably one of my top books of the year, where she really breaks down the evangelical purity culture movement and how that has impacted women now as they walk through that in the like 90s and early 2000s. And so that was really, really fascinating.
You have a podcast about that, correct?
I do have a podcast coming up in January about purity culture that...
Stay tuned.
It's going to be great. And I can't remember the name of her book, but she has a book coming soon. You'll hear about that soon. Really great books this year. I'll share a couple of fun books because I also read fiction. You don't read fiction,
I love fiction.
I read a book called Such a Fun Age that was amazing. Such a great, like, fun read. And then another one I really liked was The Seven Husbands of Evelyn Hugo. It was just such a great, like...
That sounds exhausting.
It is exhausting, and it was so fun. I love those escape from reality kind of books. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's books. Do you have any, like, shows, movies that you want to share?
Now, again, this is like, I don't know where 2020 started and
It's,
you know, where we are now. So I tried to go back and throw out a couple of the things that I thought, TV shows that were really good. Chernobyl.
Yes, I forgot about that.
Chernobyl, that one kicked me. So I watched it and then I made you watch it because I wanted to watch it again. And that kicked off like several books. I think I read like three or four more books following that just about Chernobyl that I wanted to get. I just wanted more information. I just wanted more. The Social Dilemma.
Okay, that was on my list.
Right? Yep. Sorry.
No, it's okay. That was good.
If you haven't seen The Social Dilemma on Netflix, that documentary will make you probably throw away
everything.
Your phone.
Yep.
If not just at least all of the social medias.
Yeah.
Ted Lasso.
But don't get rid of your phone because you need to listen to my podcast.
But don't get rid of your phone. But you could do that on the computer too. You could do it otherwise.
Yeah, but whatever.
Ted Lasso was a show. I watched that one by myself.
Yeah, I have heard.
While you've gone
a lot
through
of people
all
talking.
The all the stuff, but it's a sports ball thing.
That's
so
true.
But it was one of those shows that like it started off and I was like, I don't know, but then it became like this like endearing, like this is really good. Like mm-hmm. The language is awful, but it was so funny.
Yeah.
I don't know if I can say this, but Schitt's Creek is on my list. I don't know if you had it on your list,
yep.
But the final season and the show was just.
Was that this year that it ended?
Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
I know. I was thinking about that earlier. I was like, I think that ended back in the spring, but.
But
man, it was so good.
Yeah, it was. I've got one more on my list, but I'm pretty sure you'll cover that. So I'll let you
wait
go from
on
there.
That. So I actually wrote down some light and fun ones too. A couple of the ones that I had written down that were heavier were the ones you said. I also wanted to mention Unorthodox.
Yep.
I watched this and it was fascinating. I think Elizabeth told me about it on one of our past episodes. And so
yeah,
I went and watched it and it's just so good. And it took me into a deep dive of learning about like certain types of culture and things. And I don't want to give much away unless you've heard us talk about it before, but just go watch it. It's good. So some really fun ones that I liked. We liked the show Woke.
It was funny.
It was funny. If you need something fun to watch, like over the holidays, I just watched a movie called Happiest Season on, I think it's on Hulu. It was just, I'm not a Hallmark movie kind of girl. I'm more of a let me watch everybody's lives fall apart. And I actually made you watch.
Yes, you did.
The Family Stone with me, which is one of my favorites because mm-hmm. I love just the chaotic family. And so Happiest Season is really fun and it's very similar to that. I watched if you need a cheesy chick flick, I watched a movie called Love Guaranteed, which was just awful and wonderful and so predictable. But it had the girl from She's All That. Do you remember the movie She's All That? What's her name?
Rachel Lee
something.
Cook.
Yes. Yeah. I love that you knew that.
I don't know why I know that. I don't think I've seen that. Was it Freddie Prinze Jr.
Yeah,
too?
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't think I've seen her do anything since that. But I saw that she was in this movie and I was like, I got to watch this.
Has Freddie Prinze Jr. done anything since then?
Probably not. He was in a like commercial recently for dishwasher tablets or something.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Yeah. So another one I watched that was not like super fun, but it was so good. I love World War II era books and movies. For some reason, that's like one of my favorites.
But not the history.
No. But I like the historical fiction. Like that's just my favorite. And so I watched, it's a Netflix original. It's called Guernsey Literary and Potato Peel Pie Society. It was so good, but it's about a woman that was an author. And so I think I just liked it. Her story was great. So anyways, we have to end with the best thing that happened in 2020.
So the one thing, right? That we've dodged multiple
the
times.
One
so,
thing.
So do we count to three and then say it at the same time to see if we're actually talking about the same thing or if this is just completely wrong?
Yes.
Which would be
Let's
awesome.
Let's do it. Here we go. One, two, three.
Hamilton. Yeah. Obviously
okay.
Hamilton.
I mean, it was the best thing that happened this year. I think I've watched it 27 times, if not more. I know I've listened to it. So we're not rich people. Like he's a pastor. We know
we don't
this.
Live anywhere near
live
where
anywhere
that's going
to
play.
Yeah. And so the one time that we have been to Chicago in the last couple of years, mm-hmm. I tried to get like the lottery or whatever it is that your sister has seen it like 10 times. Cause she always wins, but we didn't make it. And
no,
I wasn't, we weren't
happen.
About to pay for that.
No, not at all.
So I had never actually seen it. And so I was so excited and I just sat and like cried my way through it and then watched it over and over and over.
So it was worth that Disney Plus subscription that we got.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
That has like been paid for over and over.
Yeah. I mean, I know you guys have talked about it multiple times but it was new to me. Like I'm not a musical theater person.
This is true.
My limit is Spamalot, like the Monty Python deal. If you haven't seen that, like it's totally worth it.
Yeah, it is.
But
good.
Beyond that, you made me go to Cats one time and we
walked out.
We left because
it was
awful.
Terrible.
God, it was terrible.
But I love musical theater, and
right.
So.
But then comes Hamilton, mm-hmm. and you
like,
love
you
this,
just have
and
to
you've
sit,
seen this.
You have to watch it with me.
But I lived in this bubble that I just ignored it, so I didn't know any of the songs. I had seen the one time that they played, like at the White House or something.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And so it was just like the main Alexander Hamilton song, mm-hmm. but I didn't know any of the rest of them.
Yep.
I didn't know any of the storyline that we were going into or how they were going to tell it. And it was phenomenal. And, you know, with some clean versions and some, carefully picked songs, our kids have absolutely loved Hamilton as well. And to hear them running around the house singing, I'm not giving away my shot.
Kendrick's favorite.
Oh my gosh. It's just been hilarious.
It's so good.
Yeah.
Well, and then a few weeks ago we adopted a little puppy.
Oh, we did. Yes. That's
and
true.
We named him. Hercules Mulligan.
Hercules Mulligan.
As one would.
Right.
So.
He has super strong forearms and.
It's true.
But also weighs like 10 pounds.
Yeah. So we are, Hamilton made a huge impact on our family this year. Especially me.
I mean, it was brilliant move by what's his face? Lin-Manuel
Miranda. He's made so much money.
Like just the fact that they were smart enough to say, one, let's shoot it so we have it. Uh-huh. And then two, let's release it in the middle while everybody's sitting home. Like, I don't know how many times, I can't imagine how much money they made just off the soundtrack.
Oh yeah.
You know, alone.
Yeah.
From people that were stuck in quarantine or in, you know, shelter in place or just trying to steer clear of everything. And it was just a brilliant move.
Yeah, it was. So, all right. Well, that's 2020.
2020.
It was interesting. Let's not ever go back.
We're days away from the end of this sucker.
Yeah.
Dear 2021.
I think we all feel like it's just something's going to switch like on January 1st and everything.
Right.
The world's all going to
everything's
going to
be happy
and it's going to be great and it's not. And we're all going to be like, wait, what? 2021's bad too?
That's right. 2021 is going to be a continuation.
Yep. So that will be interesting for sure.
2020
plus
.2. 2.0. No, it's not going to be any better. Like a new build. It'll just... Yeah, continuation.
That's right. That's right. So, well, we hope that you had a good year listening to Asking for a Friend. Just a couple of announcements here. I'm actually taking the next couple of weeks off just to spend some time with my family and enjoy our time at home and our Christmas. So I will see you guys back here the first week of January. I'm kicking off 2021 with Hannah Brencher. We have a great episode coming up about the new year and how to really kick that off. In a good way. Also, I have a fun announcement that I want to share with you guys here first before I share it anywhere else. So in January, I am launching a new business, Kara K. James Media and Consulting, where I am going to help women who may be just like you, who are writers, speakers, women that own businesses that are just struggling to get it all done. And as the Enneagram One that you all know that I am, I love creating systems just to help women thrive in their businesses. And so that is what I'm doing, just going to be helping consult you and your business just to help you free up the time that you need to spend on the work that you love. So more information coming about that soon. You guys are awesome. Thank you for listening this year. I'm so grateful for you. And I will see you back in 2021.
I'm Kara K. James, and you've just listened to the Asking for a Friend podcast. I hope that you are inspired and encouraged by these conversations to step out of the status quo and engage in conversations that matter. You can find the show notes for this episode and subscribe at karakjames.com/podcast. I also love connecting with you on social media. I'm at karak.james on Instagram and Facebook, and at karakjames on Twitter. You can also subscribe to my newsletter at karakjames.com/newsletter. This podcast is meant to provide you with a safe space to work through the questions that you have about yourself, the church, and the world around you. Please never hesitate to reach out if you need a safe place to land. Thank you so much for listening, and keep asking questions for a friend.